I'm going to just carry on and finish what I was doing this morning, then we'll go into something else. So all of that I was declaring or having as a legislative things, what that allows people to do in terms of sonship is to come into a deeper place of intimacy. That's the key. It's got to be an intimate relationship with the Father. We then begin to embrace our destinies as sons. That connects us with creation because that's the Father's heart. We then start to feel connected to creation, and God wants to reveal us as sons so that we can answer creation's groan. And ultimately, the true nature of God, that is the essence of love. But creation will be set free into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So it didn't say God's glory, it says ours. Now, what is our glory? It's when we actually operate in who God created us to be. And the essence of our glory is being sons, being ourselves. You know, and creation will see that and respond to it. If you don't know who you are, creation doesn't recognize you. You're part of the problem rather than the solution. You know, because creation itself is in bondage to corruption. It's in bondage to decay. You know, God never created anything in decay. He created it for increase, for expansion, for growth, for, you know, and, you know, Dr. O was saying, you know, we should have taken this little piece of garden, filled the earth with it, filled the solar system with it, filled the galaxy with it, and filled the universe with it. That's still our mandate. Now, you can look and think, that's not possible. How could I possibly do that? And some people will look, well, I'm sort of running down now, really. I'm sort of at the end of my life. It's like, no, you're not. You're like, there's Joshua and Caleb were in their 80s when they went in and took possession of the land. And Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit upon them. They weren't looking at the physical obstacles. They weren't looking at Jericho. They weren't looking at the giants. You know, Caleb himself was like in and out to war, you know, as he was 84. And he said, give me the high ground. Give me Hebron. Give me the best of the land. Oh, there's loads of giants there. Hey, here's a great opportunity for me to practice my giant slaying. You know, so that none of that was an obstacle. So we really need to find our identity. That releases our position, and that position releases authority. So I make declarations based on the laws that I get. So some of the declarations I made over this were, I decree a new foundational government be established by resonating with the sound frequency of heaven that's calling for restoration. So I'm not really interested in people who want to establish things that isn't connected to God's purpose, because they're just doing something of their own purpose. So there's a sound coming out of heaven. The sound is God's heart beating for creation and its restoration. And if we hear that sound, God will establish authority within it. So I want government to be established. But notice the word foundational. Heaven's government on earth is not a covering hierarchical system. That's our copy of heaven, where God wants us to reflect heaven. And if you're functioning under a covering of someone else, then how can you get to God direct? You can't. So the heavenly government on earth is the other way up. It's foundationally that the government is in the foundations and everything is built upon that. So if you don't want to be in the dirt and people standing on you, then you're in the wrong job if you're in governmental position. If you want to cover everyone and have everyone looking up to you, you're in the wrong place if you want heavenly government, because that isn't what it's about. So God is calling us to have a new foundation, which is those that are governmentally responsible for releasing people into their destiny. Not to do it for people, but to encourage and equip people that they can hear God for themselves, and that through them, God can release their destiny calling, and they will governmentally be able to fulfill what God's calling them to do. So everything is an empowerment, permission, giving people the opportunity, and guess what? You will get permission to fail, so long as you don't quit. Now, the problem is, when you've got it wrong, perhaps in the past, you've probably been pounced on by those and made to feel somewhat less than. Whereas every failure is an opportunity to succeed and to learn in the process. And if you have that atmosphere, then no one fears having a go. Because if they don't get it perfect the first time, hey, have a go again and do better the next time. You know, so everything changes when you have a heavenly government, because everyone hears God for themselves, you know, and that's the main thing. And, you know, the issue is not just one-sided in this. You have the leaders who, well, we hear God and we tell you what God's saying, which is their view, but you also have people saying, well, we pay you to pastor us and tell us what God's saying. You know, and neither of those attitudes are right. You know, actually, everyone's responsible for doing what God wants, calls them to do as an individual, as living stones amongst something which is corporate. You know, so we have lots of areas where people can get involved. So lots of areas of authority that we have. No one is forced to be involved in anything. Everyone's encouraged to find out where God wants them to be involved. And if there's something which we're not doing, which is part of our blueprint, that other people are called to, we will encourage them to start doing it. Because we're not here to tell everyone what to do, we're here to help them do what God wants them to do. And if we have a blueprint that says something which gives us an idea of what it is we're building, and someone comes to us and says, well, we feel called to do this, I feel called to this. Now, what they're usually saying is, we want you to do this. So God's told me this, but we want you to do it, because I'm not really confident of doing it. So I'm going to tell you God said this, so then you can take it up and you can do it, or you can help me do it. Now, the reality is, if that is part of our blueprint, then we can say, okay, how can we help? If it isn't part of our blueprint, we will say corporately, we're not going to do that. But if it's part of your personal blueprint, how can we help you? Because we want to help people fulfill their destiny. Some of that is corporately doing things together, and some of that might be doing something completely different with someone else. But that's okay, because this is not a monopoly that we are controlling what people do in their lives. This is to encourage people to find the fulfillment in their lives. So I decree a new kingdom government, a new season where lords rise up and take their heavenly positions and responsibilities and establish the new. Now, I can't go into what the new is. You're all sort of a new, old. This is something new. God's unveiling new things. I started to do a couple of sessions on this is new, this is old, this is a new way of thinking, this is an old way of thinking. I ended up doing 48 sessions of teaching, because as I looked into it, I realized how much I still thought in an old way. And God had to challenge me as I was doing the teaching, and it was just like more and more and more and more opened up. And I just thought, wow, God wants us to be actually able to have the mind of Christ and think in a different way, in a way which is so much more creative. And for me, that was a challenge that God took me through the process of revealing, well, what is new, what is old. And now I use that as a reference point. When I'm thinking, or when I'm seeing a situation, I'm responding to it. Very often, that's what I frame it with. Am I defaulting to an old way of thinking here? Or an old model of behavior? Or am I going to see this coming from a heavenly perspective? Which is really what new is. The new is being in heaven and establishing things in heaven so that those things can outwork on the earth. Because God has called us to go beyond the veil. This is our inheritance. This is our promised land, if you like, where we live in that place that God has given us to live. So my declarations and decrees, on the basis of all those things I told you earlier that I was permitted to do, is something that you have permission, use it. So first of all, before I do anything else, is I call for things to be established in heaven. And then the authority I have, I then release. So this is what I started to call. I call upon the Father to open our hearts and minds to see blind self areas of independence, where our soul's needs for affirmation are being met outside of the true love within the relationship of I am. No, I could spend the rest of the session talking about that one thing. In fact, every one of these statements I could probably spend a day talking about, because this is something I live. So I'm always seeking God for unveiling blind self in me. Because if it's something I can't see, I can't change. I want God to reveal areas where I'm operating in an old manner, or operating out of generational issue, or operating out of something. So I say, search my heart, O God. But not everyone says that. So I'm declaring this to inspire people to respond. And so God begins to open people's eyes so that they can see. I call for the light to shine into the darkness to reveal the hidden motives of our hearts. You know, that's what trading's all about in a negative sense. The motives of our heart that we use to try and advance ourselves, in whichever way we're offered a shortcut by the enemy. And every shortcut the enemy gives you is a trap. And you fall into the trap and you get into a bondage, and then you can't get out of it, because that's what the enemy's traps are. If it seems too good to be true, it is. You know? It's like with God, it's maturity. It's working it through. It doesn't come like a magic wand. All of a sudden, God gives you this. Because when he does call you into something, you're probably not mature enough to handle it. But as you walk towards it, he takes you through the process that prepares you to be able to outwork what he's calling you to do. He knew you weren't prepared to handle it when he called you. So when he calls you to do something, you feel, oh, I don't think I can do that. Great, that's a good place to start. But then you don't let that stop you. You walk towards it relationally with God, and you cherish it in your heart, and it begins to cause you to accept the process that you need to get you to maturity. Because basically the whole charismatic movement tried to avoid responsibility by putting it on someone else to lay hands on us and pass on the anointing, the transferable anointing. You know how many people paid to go to conferences where the transferable anointing was available? Yeah. You know, none of you got it, because it doesn't exist. The only anointing is transferred from God to us, not from somebody else. But we were sold that because it was a shortcut. If I can get someone else's anointing, I don't have to go through the things in life that they went through to get them to the place where they had that anointing. And the reality is, God will take us through a process of maturity. You know, I really wish in sometimes that some scriptures weren't there. You know, Dr. O called them the Passover scriptures. One of them is James chapter 1. Count it all joy, brothers, when you encounter various trials and troubles and tribulations, because this is going to work something in you, so you'll be maybe mature and perfect and lacking in nothing. It's just like, who put that in there? Yeah, it wasn't very friendly of him to do that. But actually, that's the reality. You know, often when you get a call, there's a crisis of faith. Can I do this? It's like, what did Moses do when he was called? I can't speak, so can you send Aaron or somebody else? I can't do it. I'm not good. I'm not an orator. Well, actually, you read the New Testament. He said, it says totally the opposite to that in Acts. It says he was skilled in wisdom and speech. So he was lying, trying to get out of it. Because it was a big responsibility. You know, he'd already tried to do it once in his own strength, and that got him into some serious trouble. It ended up in 40 years in the wilderness. You know, so these things are real. You know, I'm never going to get through this unless I stop preaching it. So I call for the law of the removal of religious restrictions to be enacted. Now, that's the law that I made in 2016, in the beginning of 2016. To lift the veils of blindness off the eyes of all engaging and connecting with this gathering. Now, I've done that for the whole of the Sons of Rise thing, but specifically for this gathering. Because God, being, you know, Jehovah sneaky, asked me to legislate. He said, I want you to give me time to legislate each day. And at the end of the day, I would spend half an hour or so before I went to bed legislating. Now, normally, I don't do anything before I go to bed. But this was something he asked me to do. So I went into heaven. I went to the court of the councils and fathers. And I said, what do I have authority to legislate? And one of the first things they said is dealing with religious restrictions and limitations. So I went and produced a piece of legislation, and then I started to use it. Now, I was directing it towards people I thought needed religious restrictions and things removed. But God was pointing it at me. So as soon as I declared it, it was like, ha-ha, now I've got you. And literally, he started to show me all the religious restrictions and limitations that were on my mind. So he took me through a process of deconstructing my mind to get me into a place where actually I could see things without the filters and without those limitations. Because they were restricting my sonship. They were stopping me believing the things God believed about me. So I'm releasing that over you. So, you know, if you go through a whole process of deconstruction, blame God because he told me to legislate. You know? Yeah. Whenever I do something directly called by God, that is for my own personal mandate of my life. If we want to apply it to the church, I take it to the bench, and as the bench, we then take it to the bench of 12, and we outwork those laws. Not everything that I do is applicable to everything we do locally. Some of the things I do are applicable to the Joshua generation, therefore everyone can use them. Which is why there are quite a number of laws part of the Engaging God program that's for everyone. Now, when you use a law that someone else has made, don't parrot it.
Don't what?
Be a parrot. Yeah. It's just repeating the words, but that doesn't carry the authority. Receive the law into your own spirit, receive the authority of that law, then make your own declarations. Yeah, it can be the same law. But we have lots of people make laws in our ecclesia because we've taught people how to do it. So all our mountains have laws. But they're all part of a whole, and we're all able to use them. So sometimes I get specific things for my own life that aren't actually to do with anybody else. So I can use that. This is one that was actually used for me. And then I used it amongst the Joshua generation, and then we used it and we accepted it as a law that we used for the whole church.
So I can use that, let's say, for Puerto Rico?
If you feel that you have a mandate to do so, yeah. Because that law is available for everyone, you know, online, you know, in terms of being able to use it. But God wants to remove the restrictions off your thinking, off your belief systems, to bring you into the freedom of actually believing who you are. The problem is we do not believe what God believes about us. And therefore our mind needs to be renewed. That's what true repentance really is. You know, metanoia is meta with and noia nous mind. So agreeing with the mind of God about you, his thoughts, not mine. So most of the time we don't know we have restrictions or there are blind self areas or things. If we did, we'd probably want to deal with them. So we need God to unveil them and reveal them so that we have authority. And then I want no one to be restricted. I want people to know the fullness of their identity in God. You know, therefore, sometimes that requires some change. You know, all of us require some or a lot or mostly to be changed. You know, but it's okay. You know, I call upon you, Jesus, as our husband, to demonstrate your true love for us and reveal the true nature of our salvation, reconciliation, restoration, and redemption from our fallen, lost state of identity and unveil the way, the truth, and the life by bringing us into the Father's arms of love. Because Jesus wants to bring us to the Father so that we can be sons like he's a son. You know, we're joint heirs, co-heirs with him in sonship. I call upon you, Father, as the lover of our souls, to reveal your true essence in deeper love, to take us to a new level of experience, that your true nature and character, and to draw all of us into your heart of love. I call upon you, Father, to open up eternity to all your children here to know themselves as at a deeper level as they gaze into the mirror of your smiling face. Now, you know, Dr. O said you can't see the face of the Father. Now, he was talking about in concept of the person of God. It's like, if you don't go through the dark cloud and engage something to deal with stuff, you can't see the face of the Father, but you can engage his presence. You know, when we engage his presence, we're engaging his nature, his essence. His presence and his person, they are different. But when you're engaging, you're looking to see reflected back who you are. That's what a mirror does. You're looking at a natural mirror, what do you see? Your face. Some of you might not like what you see first thing in the morning. You know, when I do hangouts with people and Zoom meetings, and most of my things are in the middle of the day or the afternoon, most of the people are in the morning. And you'll be surprised, well, you wouldn't be surprised, but how many ladies won't switch on their cameras because they just got out of bed, you know? And it's like, who am I speaking to? An avatar? Well, no, I'm not quite ready to be on camera yet. And I'm sure they're probably sitting there doing something to their faces just to get them ready so that they feel presentable. It doesn't matter to me or God what you look like on the outside. God's just looking at the heart. But sometimes we're sensitive about what we think other people think of us when they look. So when we look into the mirror of God's face, we see reflected back who he thinks we are, not who we think we are. That's why when we behold him, we become like us. Because we're made in his image. Keep looking at him. Keep engaging him. Whether you look into the face of Jesus, when I look into the Father's face, it's like the face of Jesus. You know, it just that's because Jesus is the express image of the Father. I see Jesus. I don't see Jesus with a little bit of fleck gray in his beard, you know, because he's a little bit older. I just see Jesus. But I know it's the Father. Because Jesus is, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, so it's a representation that you can engage with. You know, it doesn't really matter who you see or what it looks like. It's the reality that you're looking to see what's coming back. Because when I look into the consuming fire of God's passionate eyes for me of love, I see something that I couldn't see anywhere else. And the more I went deeper into his love, the more I realized he loved me, and the more I realized who he made me to be, a reflection of love. So there was a little phrase that came out of these encounters, and God said, I want you to live loved. I want you to live loved. Not live trying to be loved, or trying to earn love, or trying to get love, but live loved because I love you. Accept it, and enjoy it, and experience it, and feel loved. It's not an unemotional thing. He wants you to feel his love. That gives you everything you need. The value, the worth, the esteem. I don't want self-worth or self-esteem or anything that comes from self at all. I want esteem. That's the way what he gives me. I want value. That's how he looks at me. When he looks at me, he values me and you as his son. Now, all that comes out of knowing you're loved. Then when you truly know your love and you're walking in love, now some people call it bliss and that sort of thing. For me, it's an internal thing, which I hope people experience when they're with me and around me. But it's not an external thing. You know, I don't have to show it in an external way to feel it on the inside. Now, some people demonstrate it and they're quite outward going and they're vivacious and they're thing. I'm particularly not. I'm more shy if as a personality type. So for me, this is something that it's actually, this is who I am. I am loved. Then life took on a whole new perspective because now I love living. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. It's never a trudge. I'm never too busy. You know, I'm always happy, you know, because, well, happiness comes from circumstances. Well, my circumstances are always good, you know, no matter what's going on, because it's the way I see it. Because if I'm in a process, God's with me. So he's walking me through the process, so I'm happy to go through the process. Everything changed when I knew how deep the love of God was. And it is deeper and deeper. And I'm sure I've got depths to go into that love. Because I can probably recount 20 to 30 engagements which were life-changing engagements of going deeper into the love of God. And there'll be more. I have no doubt there'll be more. But then, when I love living, I can then live loving. So I live my life expressing that love to others because I've received it and I feel it and I want other people to feel it. So I want to love them. I do love them. It changed my whole perspective when I saw how much God loved the world. God so loved the world. Now, if you don't know you're loved, you don't know how God loved the world, and you can't love the world that way. Because you just won't be able to do it. You don't have the capacity. It is not human love. It's the love of God that you receive that you can freely give. And so I saw the depth of God's love for everybody, all of his children, right throughout creation and beyond. And it changed how I saw people. I couldn't see them the same way. You know, and once I was engaging in heaven, I was in the heart of God, and I was just being within his heart, and I was just feeling so loved. And he said, I want to show you my mind. I thought, oh, yeah, great. And I had this immediate picture of what the mind of God would be like, you know, firing neurons of amazing things. And I was just like, wasn't like that at all. So I almost like, well, is this your mind? I thought this was your heart. Because it didn't seem any different. But then what I picked up was there was a conversation going on. So now I'm in the midst of a conversation between Father, Son, and Spirit. And it was such a wonderful, loving conversation. And I started to pick up something that referred to me. So I thought, ooh, they're talking about me. But in such a loving way, because those were some of the vast sum of his thoughts that they were talking about. Because they talk about all of us continually in a conversation outside of time and space in the now. And so I'm sort of just like, whoa, this is not what I thought. I didn't think the mind of God was a conversation between Father, Son, and Spirit. Oh, then it's like, oh, well, how does the mind of God work then? And it's like, then he said, let me give you a glimpse of something. He said, I'll just give you a glimpse because you couldn't cope with more. So I thought, okay. And what I got a glimpse of was Father, Son, and Spirit, their mind, connected to every single person who's ever lived, whoever will live. Currently, that's about 108 billion people and rising daily. And he was connected to every one of their thoughts all the time in the now. And every one of the decisions they made, he was aware of. And he loves everybody so much that every decision and thought he wanted to bring good out of. Even the most ridiculously stupid ones that we make. Yeah. And that's quite often. You know? But seriously, he loves you so much that he's already worked on the fly as you're having thoughts to engineer those thoughts to bring something good out of them and to weave even our decisions into his overall story of redemption. Because he's doing it on the fly. Therefore, your destiny is not fixed. Your destiny carries with it the ability to be adapted to your life to bring out of your destiny that which he is working to bring good out of all the time. You know, Grant Mahoney looked at his destiny scroll and saw the date of his death. And he wasn't too pleased about it. So whatever he did over a period of time, he then re-looked at it and it changed. Well, that's the way it works. It isn't fixed because God's in the now, outside of time and space. But he comes into time and space in the moment and engages us. So there's this transcendence and this immanence. So we can feel his presence in the imminent, but we can also engage in the transcendence and actually be listening to and engaging with him in love. You know, so he is passionate about you, passionately loving about each of you, no matter what you've done, whatever you're doing. For him, it's all now. So he can work it all out. We don't have to try and figure it all out. We just have to be loved. And when we're loved, it gets worked out. So that changed how I viewed people. Because there were certain people who annoyed me. You know, I'm sure no one annoys you. But I am human. And there were certain people who annoyed me. And some of it was like, how many more times am I going to say the same thing before you get it? You know, this is the 1500th time I've shared this with you. Now, online, I have extreme patience with everybody, because hey, you got an hour with me, ask what you like, I'll repeat it 100 times if you want. People at home who are with me all the time, I had less grace for, let's say. And when I saw this, how much God loves every individual, it just changed how I saw people. I mean, I'm looking at them and I'm like crying over the fact that they're not getting it. Not annoyed because they're not getting it. Because I felt the love of God. So when you know you're loved, it totally changes how life functions. So it's so important to begin to look into the eyes of love and to see his deep love for you and to allow that love to change you, to agree with him about you. You love so much, you don't have to agree with anybody else. It's like no one else matters when you know God's love. You know, and yes, it's a process, and yes, it deepens, but it's an amazing thing. And I live loved. You know, I truly know I live loved. You know, if something goes wrong, it does not make any difference to how I live loved. Because I know God loves me. And sometimes the things that go wrong are designed for me to learn to overcome them and grow through them and to be strengthened through them. So, you know, life took on a whole different thing. So I want everyone to experience that. So I call upon you, Father, to draw us deeper into your love, to call deep within your true essence to the deepest parts of our fragmented souls, to reach the most traumatized, separated, and fearful parts of us, drawing them into wholeness and sonship. Because a lot of us are actually fragmented. We don't know it. And when God is trying to speak to us, there are parts hiding in there, afraid. You know, now some of those parts are afraid of God because of various things that have happened. Some of them are just afraid because of trauma and things that have happened. But God wants to speak to the whole of us. He wants to draw all of those parts. You know, and Dr. O said, you know, that it's a blessing that we can be fragmented. Because if we wouldn't, we wouldn't survive. Some of the things that have happened to people, they would not cope if they had to face the memory of that all day, every day of their life. So they're fragmented as a protection mechanism. But actually, we don't have to stay fragmented. Because God loves us too much to allow us to stay that way. And he's continually looking to speak into the very essence of who we are and draw out those fragmented, broken parts to bring them into the light, into a place of safety and security of the love of God so that they know they're loved. You know, and I honestly, I didn't think I had anything like that. I mean, I've been through so much ministry over the years. I mean, I've gone through my gateways. You know, I've gone through the trading floors. I've gone through everything. You know, I didn't think I had anything left. You know, other than me, you know, and me sometimes make stupid mistakes and decisions. But generally, I didn't really think I had anything that way. And so I came home one day, and there's my family is all there, and they're home for some holiday or something. And everything was fine. I went out into the garden, and I saw some things that caused me concern because the grandchildren were left to roam around and there were some dangerous things. Now, normally speaking, that would not be a problem to me because I'm pretty laid back and nothing actually really happened. No one cut themselves on knives in the greenhouse or whatever else. So, but I lost the plot. Something triggered in me a reaction which was so extreme that it would have shocked you. You know, it shocked me. I didn't even know why I was even doing that. And I challenged some of my daughter about looking after her kids. And it's like, it set off a whole argument. And at the end of the argument, it was just like, I thought, where did that come from? Now, I had to do a lot of repair work to deal with what had happened. You know, and my other daughter was like, that's it, you've had it now. That's the end of that. You're never going to get that back. So I said, no, it's okay. I'm choosing to believe I will. Because actually that's the reality that's going to come out of this situation, not for harm, but for good. So yeah, I repaired the damage and humbled myself and ate humble pie and apologized and did whatever I could. But what God, then it was like, why did that happen? Because it was completely irrational from one point of view. So I went to God and I said, show me why that happened. And he said, you will find out. So what I saw, and I looked, because I can walk inside me and I can look. So I went through every gateway trying to find something, couldn't find anything. You know, I went into the depths of my soul, in beyond, and I saw an area of darkness. It was just, I could not penetrate it, I couldn't see into it, it was just dark. Oh, and I was so annoyed. I couldn't, and I asked God, break through into this. And I couldn't. And for a while, nothing happened. I just knew it was there. And that frustrated me even more, because I knew it was there and I couldn't see it. But God then took me through some things, again, going deeper into his love, that brought me to a safe place, a even safer place than I was in, that enabled that to open up. And when it opened up, it revealed a trauma I was totally dissociated from. I could even remember the day it happened, and I completely lost what happened to me in it. You know, so you can have those things, and you just don't know they're there. So when it opened up, you know, and it was something that happened when I was 6 or 7 years old, and with my sister, actually, and I remembered what happened to my sister, or partial bit. I remember her getting lost. And I didn't remember anything to do with me. I just remembered the thing. And actually, we were abducted, you know, and there was stuff that went on. And it was like, now, that triggered by something which seemingly had no connection to it, but it did. Then it unveiled something that eventually I was able to come back into the light and be integrated. So that little six-year-old who was fearful, traumatized, hurt, pained, actually came into Jesus, received love and acceptance and healing and wholeness, and I became whole in that area. Now, I don't know if there's any other things I've sort of asked God to show me. Search my heart, O God, show me. And I'm open if there is. But sometimes you just don't know until the time is right for it to get triggered. If that had happened years earlier, and I didn't know anyone who could deal with those things in those days, I would have really struggled with it. But because I knew I was loved, and then because I knew I was loved, God was able to show that little boy that he was loved. And that little boy was able then to accept that love and come into a position of being healed and made whole. So, yeah, I want everyone to experience that. And I know people here do that and they minister that. So you've got a whole sort of lot of people who can help you with that if it ever happens. But that's the extreme end, and for others it's really, really extreme. You know, but for some, it's quite mild to a degree, but it's relative. You know, something small can happen to you, which to someone else, it wouldn't even scratch them. But for you, it could be so traumatic that you can't cope with it. You know, so don't ever compare yourself to anyone else. You're you. God loves you as you. He loves you completely as you. And he wants to bring you into the fullest, best you can be, which is who he is to you as a father, and you're his son. So he wants you to recognize that. So I call upon you as our loving Father to expose and reveal all our protection, defense, and coping mechanisms. So get ready. You know, because if you're going to come into the fullness of who you are, you've got to let go. You've got to stop protecting yourself. Only way you'll do that is if you know you're loved. You know, if you don't know you're loved, you will always have to protect yourself, because you don't trust God. I didn't trust God. I thought I did. Then he took me through a process that showed me I didn't. So reveal all the barriers and walls that have imprisoned us. Smash and tear down and demolish all that separates us from your love and our true identity as your sons. I call upon you as our loving Father to heal our brokenness by pouring out love's lavish, rich healing oil, and release the sounds, frequencies, and fragrances and anointing power to bring us into true rest of wholeness and peace. There's a lot that God wants to do with us, you know. Just go with it. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't try and figure it out yourself. Just allow him. So I call upon you, Father, to reveal our adoption into your family. To all our fragmented souls, broken parts, welcome them to be integrated and restored back to the oneness of our origin within your heart. God wants to make us whole. He wants to heal us, restore us. I call upon you, Father, to restore us, your children, back to the image of our true sonship, to reconnect us with your original desires, thoughts, and intentions for our sonship and our destiny. I call upon you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to deliver us from our orphan spirits, welcome us deep within the circle of your love, to dance with you, the lover of our souls. Now, that's what I do in the circle of the heart of God. I dance with him. You know, I love that song, you know, dance with me, lover of my soul. You know, it's just like, you know, singing this song. I mean, it's like, you know, I can do that anywhere. And sometimes I just love to be embraced and dance. You know, now it's a position of intimacy. You know, I don't like dancing in the natural realm. You know, my wife said, oh, will you dance? And I was like, oh, do I have to? You know, it's just like, you know, I'll step on your toes. You know, it's just like, you know, I didn't like it. And, you know, when our daughters got married, you know, you have to sort of do the father's dance, you know. Now, I loved the fact that I could, but I didn't like the fact that I was having to dance because I just don't know how to do it very well. You know, but, you know, I did, and gave them a hug and wept. But with God, I'm totally liberated and completely free. Now, maybe that should be reflected in the earthly realm. Maybe I need some healing in that area. Maybe there's some hidden thing where I danced wrongly in the past. I don't know. But actually, with God, I am so free. You know, when we did that activation last night, that's what I engaged with. The Father, Son, and Spirit came around me. Those three bowls, representing Father, Son, and Spirit, representing love, joy, and peace, came around me, and I was in the midst of the circle of the dance, dancing. Free, in freedom, which is what the word, the intent was released, freedom. And that freedom is what God wants all us to have. Free to be you. That's all God wants you to be, free to be you as God intended you. Not as the world has made you, as you may have been affected by trauma or any other things in your life, but free to be who he made you to be. Now, ultimately, to do that, going back into his heart and re-engaging with who you really are is so important in the process. So I call upon you, Father, to affirm us as your beloved sons, cocoon us within your amazing love for us, as our dad, reveal the height, breadth, length, depth of your love, dimensionally in heaven and on earth. You know, there's so many dimensions to the love of God that we can experience. You know, love isn't a theory. It's a relational experience, and he wants us to have it all. So I thank you for being the best dad in the whole creation, for being all that we could ever need or want. You know, I thank you for being lavish, abundant, overflowing, with new covenant love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and all the rest. You know, it's like you may find that being in an environment, this uncovers some brokenness. Well, there's plenty of people here who can help you with it, you know. So don't fight it. Don't try and resist it. Oh, well, I want to listen to the teaching. I'd rather you get hold and listen to me, you know, seriously. Because you can always listen to the tape later. Tape, I'm going back a few years now. MP3, CD, whatever it is, YouTube video. But you can always watch that later. If you need ministering into, go for it. Don't hold back if God shows you an area that he wants to deal with. You know, we do need some healing and restoration of our soul. Whatever God says to you in this time, journal it. You know, don't journal what I'm saying to you, but journal what God says to you. You know, journal the things that when we do an activation and we do some activations, just journal that and allow him to speak to your hearts. Let him to reveal things to you. Let him show you really how he feels about you, you know, and it's good. You know, God has been so misrepresented by religion. And this hard, harsh God is waiting for you to get it wrong so he can beat you with a stick. You know, that's just such a lie. It's a religious lie. God is a loving God who wants to love you. If you walk away from him and do your own thing, you suffer consequences for doing that. Not because he's punished you, just because you've decided to walk at yourself. But he's always there waiting for you to come back. You know, it's like the prodigal son and the loving father. You know, he was there waiting, looking. And he's always doing that for us because he wants us to come into that revelation and that truth. So we really can't be sons without being having a father, a father relationship. You know, and he is that father. So sonship is the state of being included in the circle of relationship that's Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, if you've never been in that circle, I really encourage you in these times that we have together, when you're engaging in worship or when we're doing things, you know, just go to a place with God. Sometimes it's like, yeah, we can join in and we can think, but sometimes it's like they're creating an atmosphere where you can engage with God, which opens up portals for you to experience some of these things. You know, take the time to do it. You know, just lay down, find a space, go next door, whatever you want to do. Find somewhere where you can just allow the circle of Father, Son, and Spirit to come around you and begin to love you and begin to take you into a deeper thing of sonship. Sonship is the state of being reconnected to the true reality of God's original intention for our identity and destiny. And he wants you to know that in the context of love. Because he loves us. So let's go deeper into intimacy with God. Don't stay superficial. And if you've been wounded and therefore you don't trust and you're not allowing yourself to dance with God or be in that sort of intimate relationship, then ask him to bring healing and get some help. Let's go deeper into God himself. You know, the deep things of God calls to the deep things of our spirit. Deep calls to the deep at the sound of your waterfall. You know, that's why I love waterfalls. I love waterfalls in heaven. I love waterfalls on earth. Whenever I go anywhere, I'm trying to find a waterfall. You know, when I was up here in 2015, I got the privilege to go to your nice big waterfall. Is it Multnomah or something? Yeah. So it was awesome. Yeah, because I love the sound, the frequency, and whatever I do, I just tune into it and engage with God, because deep starts to call to deep. You know, so there's so much more that God wants to reveal about himself and you. Deeper into the truth, Jesus, deeper into experiential revelation. Do not be content with information. If you're not experiencing it, it isn't real. You know, it's got to be something that you know by experience. Higher into the creative light realms with God, you know, into the creative light, into the heart and mind of God, outside of time and space. You know, all these things are available for us. You know, God is calling all of us to come home, to come back into his heart, to discover the reality of who he is, so that we can embrace it and experience it and go deeper and deeper with it. Every one of us has a supernatural inheritance beyond the veil. There is a place where you are there to be seated in Christ and to discover not just the relationship, but also the responsibility. Because it isn't like we're going to soak for the rest of our lives and do nothing. You know, it's like, you know, the soaking stuff, I never really got it. You know, it's just like, how long are you soaking? You know, we had a group who were doing soaking and stuff. I said, well, how long do you soak? Oh, all evening. Yeah, but what do you do at the end of it? Well, we just get up and go home. And I think, well, what is that doing for you? You know, what difference is it making? No one could tell me anything. You know, I said, well, do you expect me to go and lie on your floor and it doesn't make any difference to you? You know, you might sleep and relax, but actually, you know, soaking or I have no problem with going intimately with God, but it will inevitably lead to a revelation of who you are in his government as well as who you are in relationship with him. The relationship always comes first, because we can't govern if we don't know the love and at work the love. But we're all called into those deeper levels of intimacy, you know, to know him, not just know about him. Now, there's four different dimensions that we can engage. So we have open heavens here. You can engage in the window that opens up in eternity. So you can engage where you can begin to experience how he created you and who he created you to be. You know, and the reason for doing that is like, you know, engaging in what was before there was a was. You know, it's all those was things, is really to reconnect. Then when you then stand in the realms of heaven, you begin to know how to legislate, how to govern, how to call things into being, how to create things. Because you've spent time with the Creator. and it rubs off on you. You know, you begin to think like him. You begin to speak like him. You begin to function like him. Because we begin to come into agreement so that the end and the beginning meet. You're responsible for being history makers. The history that you create is down to whether you walk out the purposes of God or walk out your own. What God would want you is to know his eternal purpose and to walk that out so that what you do in your life brings agreement with that and that manifests on earth. So that history is aligned with the heart of the Father. Now we can look back and think, ooh, there's a whole load of stuff that doesn't seem to be much in alignment. That's because we're not walking in it. You know, who's responsible for the creation? Who did God give responsibility to? Us. You know, we have the responsibility to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue and to rule. And if we don't know our identity and we don't know our position, then we won't be able to do that. So the world is sort of going round and round, and yeah, there's stuff going on in heaven and there's court cases and there's things that limit the damage we can do. Grace of God and the mercy of God on that. But he wants us to take more responsibility. So we can engage God here. He's here. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. So he's here with us. You can learn to engage him here, particularly under an open heaven that's created, in a spiritual atmosphere of that open heaven. You can engage with God right here and now. You know, it's not that difficult. But sometimes we think of all these spiritual things, and he's right here. He wants to give you a hug here. He wants you to feel his presence here. Because this is where you spend most of your time, you know, in this realm, living it out. So having a conscious sense of the presence of God every day and fatherhood is really important. But yeah, we can engage God in the spiritual dimensions of our spirits and our hearts, because he's in us, he lives in us, he dwells in us. So wherever you go, you don't have to be in a meeting. He's with you all the time. And you can engage with him all the time. You can also engage in the heavenly realms, relationally and responsibly, and you can learn to engage in the intimate things of the waterfalls and the pools and the gardens and the things of heaven. You can also engage the courts and the thrones and all those sorts of things. And you can engage God's heart in eternity outside of time and space. Those are just four simple things that you can do. Now, how do you do it? That's the question, isn't it? You know, how do you do that? You know, well, am I going to tell you or not? Maybe God will tell you. But let's actually do it. So I want to just spend the rest of this time, which is, I don't know, 25 minutes, 35 minutes or so. Let's just do some encounters. Let's actually experience God's presence. You know, I love the prodigal son story. I just love the fact that the father was there with welcome, open arms. Now, there's some things in that prodigal son story. The son came back with a wrong view of his identity. He came back with a slavery mentality. I don't deserve, I'll just come back and serve because it's better than being in a pigsty. So your life might be a pigsty, it might be a mess. And you might think, how can God really love me when I know all this stuff about myself? Well, guess what? He knows it all. Yeah, and he loves you in spite of anything that you might think is an obstacle. Don't allow any of those things to stop him giving you a hug. So the best way to do that is package them all up. It's like, okay, any things that you think might be an obstacle to you engaging God right here and now, anything you might have thought, anything you might have done, anything that's still lingering that he's forgiven you over, anything, guilt, shame, condemnation, anything, when he's there with open arms and you're carrying all this junk, you can't be embraced. It's separating you from him because you're carrying this stuff that keeps you apart. Where from his perspective, nothing will keep you apart. So in the activation, if there is any sense where you're struggling because you don't think you're worthy, or you think for something that God may not want to embrace you, then just lay it at his feet. Just lay it down. Just say, okay, I am not allowing anything to stop me. And, you know, in all activations, you know, sometimes relaxing, breathing a little bit deeply, get a loosened up, sometimes lying on the floor, sometimes just making sure that you're not going to try and overanalyze what's happening is a good place to start. So what do you do? Well, you focus your thoughts. That's how you start meditating. You start to focus your conscious thoughts in whatever you're seeking to engage, to activate your imagination, to activate that experience. So, well, how do you do that? Well, start thinking about it. It's really easy. We want to engage the Father. So start thinking about the Father. And as you then close your eyes, literally your brain goes from problem-solving waves to creative waves. It slows down. Your brain waves slow down when you close your eyes. When your eyes are open, generally you're looking and your mind is working things out and trying to keep everything okay. Close your eyes and then you're in a place where you can begin to think and think about the Father. So don't strive to see. Just go with what you sense forming in your imagination at that point. It may be a feeling. It may be that you're just beginning to feel a sense of peace or feeling warm. You know, you don't have to have a full-blown Hollywood production every time. You know, because that's what I think people think when you're thinking of an activation. It may be visual, which is awesome, but it may not. So don't put a preconditioned idea on what it is. But the more you learn to activate your imagination, the easier it is to begin to picture and sense things and perceive things. Always engage in faith. It's like, do you believe God says that he's gathered when two or three are there? Do we believe that as truth? So why wouldn't we believe that God is here right now and can engage every one of us? Because he promises to be here. So that's where we start. So by faith, I am choosing to believe what he says. That's what begins to activate things. Because what does he do to those who come to him in faith? Reward them. He enables what they're believing to manifest. So if you want to engage the Father, start thinking about the Father. That's how it starts. Now you may have thoughts. You may see, you may hear, you may feel, you may sense. You may just know cognitively, or you might not know anything cognitively, but your spirit will. And this is the important thing. Your spirit will always receive more than you think. So don't get disappointed if it isn't a full-blown Hollywood thing. Just allow your place to come to a place of peace and rest. And just allow to happen what happens. Now, when your spirit does receive something that you've not received in your conscious mind, when you receive that, it gets released when you need it. So our spirits digest things at different rates. Just like when you eat. You chew food in your mouth and some enzymes are released and you get some goodness out of the food in your mouth, depending on what you're eating. Some of it then you swallow and then your stomach starts working on it with enzymes and acid and other things to break it down and release more nutrients. And then it passes a little bit further. I'm not going to get too much further along the path, but we'll go to the digestive area when some more things are released and you absorb more. So when your spirit receives something, it gets released when you need it. Not always in one great big lump. Because when you try and digest too much, you can throw it up. So God knows what you need if you trust him. So you may get a direct revelation and really sense the love of the Father. Because he wants to embrace you. You know, he wants to embrace you here and now. And he wants you to experience that embrace. So I would encourage you to close your eyes. You know, and I'll just sort of read the Luke 15:20 to you. And this is the picture I want you to think about. It's like, feel free to lie down, kneel, whatever you feel. Some people like to stand, whatever you feel is comfortable. You know, don't sort of think, oh, I've got to sit there. Do whatever you want. You know, this is what he says. So he got up and came to his father. So that is what you are going to do. You're going to choose to come to the Father. While he was a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him. and kissed him. And that is what the Father wants to do with you right now. So just begin to close your eyes. And start thinking about the Father. And as you're thinking about the Father, just think about coming to Him, choosing to come to Him. He's waiting for you there. He's waiting for you with open arms. Now, as that picture begins to form, as you begin to sense His presence, just let go of anything which is a hindrance or an obstacle that might come up. Just cast it down. Now the Father is here, and He's coming towards you where you are. Just let Him put His arms of love around you. Let Him embrace you with love. Let that love penetrate deeply into your heart. Let Him love you the way you need to be loved. He may whisper things to you. He may speak truth to you. But He wants you to sense just the deep love He has for you as His children. So just let Him surround you. Just sink into Him. He may put new clothes on you. He may put a ring of sonship on your finger. So just begin to feel and sense the joy and pleasure of His heart. And just let Him release His love and joy and peace all around you. And just wait in His presence. Just allow Him to take you deeper and deeper. Safe place. And just let His love begin to heal your heart. Any areas of brokenness or fragmentation, we just welcome those parts to come into the embrace of the arms of God's love. I just stay in that place, stay in that relaxed place. Now the Father's here and we're under an open heaven. Now the Father spoke out of an open heaven and spoke words of affirmation over his Son Jesus. Behold, a voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now we're here, heaven's open. The Father's here to speak to you, to receive that affirmation. Let the Father's voice, the words of the Father, just speak to you. "You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased. You who bring me great joy. You in whom my soul delights. I take great delight in you. In you is my delight." So we're under an open heaven. He wants to release acceptance to you. Affirmation. Approval. Recognition. Recommendation. Commendation. Blessing. Endorsement. Validation. All these things the Father wants to impart to your heart, bypassing the obstacles that may be in your mind and sowing those things right into your heart. So just stand under that place. Just stand under the love of the Father. And just hear these words as the Father speaks to you. "Son, I call your spirit to attention. Spirit, listen as a true son. I call forth your identity as a son, part of the Joshua generation, the order of Melchizedek. I call forth your destiny to manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your destiny to fill the earth with God's glory. You are my beloved Son, in whom my soul delights. I am well pleased with you. Receive my acceptance." Now feel his acceptance. Receive my affirmation. Receive it. Feel it. Sense it. All of those amazing things. He wants to impart security to you. His love practically released into your life. Just receive his blessing. Let him speak eternal words of remembrance to you from his eternal heart. That conversation of Father, Son, and Spirit about you. Just let those words surround you, cocoon you, resonate with your spirit, start to resonate with your soul and body. Father wants you to feel the pleasure of his heart. He wants to display you before all creation in his love as sons. So he is validating your sonship before all of creation. He's revealing you as sons of God, so creation can respond to you. He's putting you on display for all the angelic realm to marvel and be amazed how awesome you are. Angels are singing and rejoicing over you, just as they did over the birth of Jesus. Creation has been longing and waiting for you to be revealed. Now you can tune into this anytime, anywhere you are. You can be on a bus, you can be at home, you can be at work. You can just reconnect to this anytime in your life, because he's with you, he's in you, he's around you. But we also need to learn to engage him within, because no matter where you are, you can always turn inwards and no one will know what you're up to, what you're doing, because you can engage. 2 Peter 1:17 describes this point where Jesus was under the open heaven. It says, when he received honor and glory from the God the Father, now that is what he wants you to receive, honor and glory. Now, I know we don't tend to talk about that sort of stuff, but actually that's how he wants you to feel, honored. As his son, you're a son of the creator of the universe. You know, I mean, that's a really special place to be. Your dad owns everything. He's everywhere. He knows everything. It's really cool to have a dad like that. You know, in this world, if your dad was, you know, Kobe Bryant or something, or you know, Michael Jordan or something, you'd be like, wow, look at my dad. Well, your dad is better than all that rolled up into one. So it goes on to say, from the God Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we have this prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. So we may sometimes feel that we're in darkness, or things are around us which are not as we want, but the day is going to dawn and the morning star will arise in your heart. And that's the place where you can always connect with the morning star, the presence of God within you. Because that is what eventually is going to bring the brightness of your rising, when you embrace the revelation of who you really are. So we can engage God in the dimensions within our heart and spirit. We are a house of God. He dwells in us. We're a gateway of heaven. Heaven can flow into us. The Father dwells in our spirit. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Now, this wasn't a, oh, there's a condition here. This was, when you know me, the things I say about you, you will agree with. It's not about keeping the law, because Jesus summed up the law in one thing, didn't he? Love. So this is about being loved and being able to love. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode, our home with him. So this is the promise, and this is already fulfilled. He is already in you dwelling. The question is whether you're open up that door that he's knocking on every day and letting him out. Or is he stuck in there with a trickle flowing under the threshold of the door? Because I spent, I don't know how many percent of my life, 80% of my life, actually flowing with a trickle under the door, the threshold of my first love gate. Because I never opened it. I never actually knew I could open it. I didn't know where he was knocking. I thought that's what he did when I got saved. But actually, he's doing that every day. He's in us. You know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, who has to open the door? We do. He's not going to force it open or barge it open, but he is knocking and he is speaking. And I imagine he's probably saying like something like, "Open the door. You know, please let me in. I've been waiting here your whole life for you to let me in. Now, when you open the door, you've got access to the springs of living water that are bubbling up within us, that we've had this little trickle, and this little trickle gave you all the gifts of the Spirit. It's producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But wouldn't you like more than a trickle? Like ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, until it's so flowing that it's producing rivers of living water through your innermost being to touch the world around you. Because that's the whole point of this river of life flowing in you. It flows out of you to the world. God's intention is that those rivers of living water, carrying the amazing love that he has for you, will be carried out to the world, can experience that amazing love. Because wherever that river goes, it produces life. It turns salt water fresh. It's awesome. So we need to cultivate this first love relationship. Every day I open my first love gate. Someone said, "Well, can't I just rip it off its hinges?" I thought, well, that's a cool idea. But in reality, you see, there's fresh mercies every morning. It's like we have to make a choice. Every day is a new day. What you did yesterday was yesterday's business. And Jesus said, you only have to deal with today. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. And before that, he said, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Because essentially, we can trust him, we don't need to worry. But it was like, today has enough for you to be dealing with without thinking of yesterday or tomorrow. So this is why this is a daily choice. You have the choice whether you engage Jesus and allow him to be filling you and the Holy Spirit to be flowing and the Father to engage you. It's your choice. But he's always waiting. He just wants you to open the door. So in this whole passage in Revelation 3:20, you know, when we open that door, we become overcomers. We experience God's love, which can overcome everything. And in verse 21, it says, he who overcomes, which is not actually something you have to do, it's something you receive, because that's who he says you are. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So when Jesus went through the cross and came out in the resurrection and went into and ascended into heaven and received the kingdom from the Father of the Ancient of Days and sat next to him, it says, if you read it, there were thrones set up. Not just one throne, but thrones. And guess what those thrones are and who they're for? Us. And those are the thrones we're supposed to be seated on in heavenly places. But when we engage this intimacy which overcomes the obstacles of our own belief about ourselves to embrace who we really are as sons, this whole area of kingship gets released to us. So the more intimacy we come into, the more authority we have. So we can invite the Father to engage us within our soul, within the garden of our heart. We open that door in our spirit. It doesn't want to stay there. God doesn't want to stay contained within our spirit, because our spiritual boundaries can increase, extending our tent pegs. So then when we overshadow our family, guess who's engaged? The Father. If we contain everything within our spirit and don't even touch our soul, then he's contained within our spirit. But the more we allow everything to flow, the more everything flows from the inside out. So when I was first engaging this, I used Psalm 23 a lot. Psalm 23 contains some amazing things. And you can read it in different versions. The Passion version is a really good version to read Psalm 23, and it's awesome. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It wasn't like a, if you like to. This is so important that he will do everything he possibly can to get you to lie down. Now, what are you doing when you're lying down? Resting. You're stopping the activity of life to spend some time with him in this place of intimacy. He leads me beside quiet waters. Well, guess what those quiet waters are? The river of life. He restores my soul. So if you want restoration of the soul, this is the place to go and lie down and let him do it. Because you're in a place of intimacy, security, love, that he can begin to work. And sometimes he will reveal things to you in that place that then you can then go and pursue. Sometimes he just does it. You just come out of that place changed. Because the truth is being revealed to you as you rest.
Yeah.
It's so important. You know, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. Well, why are we weary and heavy laden? Because we're doing stuff in our own strength and carrying burdens that were never meant to be ours. And we get worn out doing it. We cannot have and sustain living in our own strength for very long. So what does he say? Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And then it says this, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And this is the passage that he gave me an exposition of in heaven. And he was telling me why people are weary and heavy laden. And he was sort of explaining what being gentle and humble in heart is all about. Because being gentle is nothing to do with being a weak, wishy-washy doormat that everyone stands on. It's actually knowing your strength. Gentleness in the Greek is of a wild stallion, but which has a rider which actually controls it through the bit in the mouth. So the strength of the stallion is surrendered to the rider. So when we surrender our life, it's not that we don't have any strength. It's actually our strength is now of use for the master, for his purposes and not ours. And humility, a humble heart, is agreeing with what God says about you. Because pride is saying, well, I'm no one, I'm nobody, I can't do anything. I'm a worm. You know, that's pride, because God doesn't say that about you. God says the vast sum of his thoughts about you and he wants to impart to you. So pride is saying, I don't agree. So embrace it. So here we have these gateway pictures, and here's our first love gate. So we've got 5 minutes. Let's let God knock on the door of your spirit. So again, close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, think of a door. That door is in your spirit. Imagine the door by just thinking about it, thinking about that door. The handle's on your side. So just reach out in the spirit by faith and make a choice. I am going to open the door that Jesus is knocking on, that the Father's there, and I'm going to open it, and I'm going to invite the presence of the Father and the Son and the Spirit to come around me. So just sense the Father's presence, and again, the Father's pleasure for you opening that door within your spirit, and just let Him love on you. Your whole spirit, soul, being, let Him love you. And if you want to just stay there enjoying the hug, that's great. If you want to invite Him to lead you into the garden of your heart, if you've never been in there before, to that secret place that He has specially for you, or to the green pastures, just walk with Him and let Him lead you into the freedom of your own soul, into that garden, that wonderful place where actually you can just lie down with the wonderful shepherd of your soul. And just let Him begin to restore you to that amazing, blameless innocence. And begin to restore your soul, renew your mind, bring you to that point of amazing truth of who you really are as a child of God. Just let the rest of His love just come over you. Just feel the weight of His presence. Just the depths of His amazing love. Just let it come over you, flow through you, so that you are loved. Just hear His words, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay, feel free to stay in that place. We're going to break now for meal break, and we'll be back at 6:30.